Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it. FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable. Free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short
the
routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon with you on this beautiful, beautiful, as we get you ready here for week number four. And you're listening, of course, to Reception, Perception, the show. Matt Harmon, how are you feeling, my guy?
Feeling pretty good, man. Just charted a game of George Pickens, so actually feeling really good because I had to watch Mitch Trubisky play quarterback. I feel kind of bad that I disrespected Geno Smith by saying that the Seahawks were running out an unserious quarterback situation in 2022 because – you can't really say that about the Steelers because they did draft a quarterback in the first round. Like, their promising young guy is a guy they picked in the first round, not Drew frickin' Lock, which is like the Seahawks promising young guy, quote unquote, on the depth chart. Not great. But I mean, if Geno Smith was on the Steelers, these receivers would be going berserk, man. Geno's played really well this year.
I agree.
It played really well. I mean, I think he leads the NFL in completion percentage over expectation right now, and by a gap too. Like he's done. By the way, what Russell Wilson would never do in Seattle, which is just execute the offense, take the layups, and move it, matriculate it down the field.
That's what we talked about in the last podcast, man. The fact that apologies to Geno, man. Like, play it up, you know. Like, he had that awesome line. It's like, dude, you know what? Make us all eat it for sure. I love it.
Yeah, I feel bad for being so disrespectful to Geno because I thought that the Steelers, you know, Mike Tomlin, hell of a coach. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the NFL. I feel like he's being a little stubborn with this whole Mitch Trubisky thing. Like, it's enough already with Mitch. The receivers hate him. I'm not sure what looks worse, James. the receiver's body language or Mitch's body language. Like, they know he sucks and he knows he sucks, like, by looking at him, man. So, I mean, George Pickens, they're also just having him run wind sprints down the field, go routes and corner routes. So at least he's going to come out of the season looking real trim for all the run, for all the cardio he's getting.
He's getting his steps in, you know. 100%.
Yeah, I hope he's got his Fitbit on or his Apple Watch or whatever out there. Yep. Got
to get those steps in, dude. Hey, listen, we got a great show lined up in front of us here today. Not going to be talking about in-depth George Pickens. We will save that for a future podcast. But we are going to talk about another great rookie in Chris Olave. Potentially talk here about Romeo Doubs as well. I feel like we're talking about a lot of rookies. That's cool. Another young player that we're going to knock out here. How about Josh Palmer? How's he doing? For the LA Chargers. And then finally, speaking of, this is all young players, apparently, because we're going to be talking about Darnell Mooney as well. Is there any hope for Darnell Mooney moving forward? But can we start with the good? Let's talk about there in New Orleans. Chris Olave exploded onto the scene there. And we saw glimpses of this, right? And we were talking about this even last week. Hey, listen, when you're seeing that many air yards, you don't have to connect on that many of them to be highly productive. But Chris Olave is, in my opinion, a great downfield threat. And Jameis is the kind of player that will try to test the deep boundaries. And you know, I tell you what, Chris Olave looked pretty good.
I think Chris Olave looks awesome. I think he looks just like the player that that we thought he would be coming into the NFL, right? Like, he was number one in success rate versus man and press coverage among the prospects charted last year, was a pro level route runner. And he was also the best downfield receiver among the guys taken last year. Obviously, Jameson Williams, who we haven't seen yet, could certainly compete in that category as well, because he's just got unbelievable play speed. But yeah, man, Olave looks great. And this is hilarious about his route chart through the first 3 weeks. Over 54% of his routes have either been a nine post or corner or an out route. So, like, all
wow.
that talk about getting your steps in, talking about getting your cardio in, but also actually, you know, having some production to go along with it. I mean, there are, I think I've said this on a few episodes, there is certainly a lot of prayer yards in those air yards for Chris Olave coming from Jameis Winston, but he is still connecting on them. And I think Olave just looks great. Right now, 71.4% success rate versus man through the first 3 weeks, 84.8% success rate versus zone, and an 80% success rate versus press. Those are awesome numbers. And, you know, one of the criticisms of Chris Olave was that he, you know, doesn't really deal with physical play. Well, I never personally saw that as a concern. I think the success rate versus press would show you that he can deal with physical coverage, certainly. So I think he looks like a number one receiver, and especially based on the way Michael Thomas has looked through the first 3 weeks, and he's also, again, dealing with injuries. Like,
I know.
I don't think he looks good, Michael Thomas, as a separator. Certainly, like, not even close to his old standard. So I think Chris Olave is the best receiver on this roster right now, both from a real life and a fantasy standpoint rest of the season.
Yeah, you talked about Jarvis Landry, too. We talked about this in a much earlier podcast about how the Saints have, when everyone is healthy, one of the best trios of wide receivers in the NFL. Again, when everyone is healthy, Michael Thomas, as you mentioned, dealing with injury. Jarvis Landry now dealing with injury too.
Yeah, I mean, those are the old guys, right? It's awesome that Thomas has made this comeback, but he's just come back to be like a clearly diminished version of himself, like a very, very much a lesser version than what he was when we saw him at the height of his powers. So I'll say this about Thomas. He still wins in tight coverage. Like, he's still got really good, strong hands in close contested situations, but he's in a lot more contested situations than he previously has been. His data is also, along with Chris Olave, up on the in-season tracker on receptionperception.com. So make sure you subscribe and check that out. And it's just tough to square when you look at where Olave is right now and where you look at Michael Thomas is right now. It's hard to say, like, that Thomas is, it just is clear that Chris Olave is better. And I think that obviously when Jameis is in there, Olave is like downfield route running, his downfield style, that's going to suit him. But, you know, Jameis Winston's also hurt. And, you know, I like to say, James, it ain't nobody used to have a bad back. Like, once you have a bad back, you have a bad back. And right. Jameis is dealing with a back injury. And so we might see Andy Dalton at some point, which I know Andy Dalton, like, kind of got, I know it's gross, but, like, he kind of got turned into a meme thanks to the Bears, because they did that whole like QB1 nonsense Twitter thing a couple of years ago with him.
Right.
But Andy Dalton's like, you know, whatever. Like it could be worse, basically. Drop it. I don't even think Jameis has been that good this year. I think Jameis has been like probably good for fantasy and like production in the prairie yards and stuff like that. But not like Jameis is running an efficient offense there in New Orleans either.
Well, I think we saw a lot of hope, right? Week one. Now, that being said, it was against Atlanta. Okay, I get it. Week two, I think we were able to say, okay, it's Tampa Bay. These guys are going to wreck a lot of quarterbacks, as we saw, clearly. But, you know, and then in week three, when they take on Carolina, oh my gosh, man, the Carolina defense was coming after Jameis. I think they knew about, I mean, obviously they know about the back. They came after Jameis, I think, quite a bit. And really forced him into uncomfortable situations. That being said, Jameis was Jameis. He doesn't want to check down. He doesn't look underneath. Still continues to look deep over the top, even in negative situations. And that has always been a problem with Jameis Winston. So, yeah, you're right. I think some of his bad habits are still very much on display. We thought maybe Sean Payton had coached a lot of that out of him last year. Maybe not the case.
Yeah, I think they had just put they'd put Jameis in such a tight box, you know, like they weren't going to let him go out there and shoot himself in the foot, basically, with Jameis Winston, you know, and everything like that. Right. But, you know, right now at this point, the Saints, they rank 27th in dropback EPA right now. Like they've just not been a good passing offense, even with Olave popping off here. So that's what I'm saying, that like, even if we lose Jameis at some point, he succumbs to the back injury. You know, the offensive line has not really played very well either so far, which is why they can't really run the ball, why they are allowing a lot of pressure. I just think that, like, even if Andy Dalton gets in there, like, Chris Olave will be okay. I just want to be betting on, like, we're going to talk about a lot of rookies. I feel like we talked about a lot of rookies on the podcast, like, so far this year, because these guys are awesome. And, like, I think when you can bet on young talent that's showing itself to be incredible, like, don't try to second guess it too much. Like, don't, some guys are going to come on a slow burn. You know, we talked about Treylon Burks on the last podcast. Like, our guy Sky Moore is certainly coming on a slow burn there in Kansas City. I'm not like going to write those players off forever, but when guys like Garrett Wilson go out and ball the F out, you know, like believe it when you see it. Right. So I think that Chris Olave is showing us that. So I want to keep like buying in on that talent and everything. Saints are just a weird team, 'cause I think, They've kind of lost this bet where they've, you know, gone all in and like kicked the can down the road for so many years that they're really hinging. Like, if they're going to be a good team, they're going to have to hinge on Jameis Winston being like the best version of himself. And so far, mixed bag. And also, like, Saints, what is the best version of Jameis Winston? Like, the best version of Jameis Winston is what, James? Like, maybe the 17th best quarterback in the NFL. So I thought, I mean, it was kind of strange that it was just like a Jameis or bust operation, but I guess maybe that's not, and that's why they have Andy Dalton. It's just like, when you really look at it, you're like, what? Like, that was your plan this year, was Winston? And
right.
Yeah, I don't know, but whatever. We're getting away from the point, which is just that, like, Chris Olave is really good at football, and he's going to be good.
Let me ask you a follow-up question about Chris Olave. So the vast majority of his routes right now are deep downfield, right? So it does bring up a question of, okay, does he need to now expand that route tree? Is he in your tracking, is he able to run, you know, a curl or a slant, things that are, you know, are short in nature, intermediate in nature? Because when we start talking about, okay, can this guy make the leap, we're talking about the leap into, you know, top 15, top 12, top 10 wide receivers, you got to be able to run the entire route tree.
Yeah, like, I don't think he's Will Fuller, right, where he's just running, or like, he's certainly not a guy that, like, Will Fuller is like the best version of that player, right, that really is a deep specialist. And then you like go down the rankings and you get into like the MVS tour territory, and he's like certainly not in the MVS territory, when that's like literally all MVS does well is run corners and deep routes. I think that Chris Olave, like, the funny part is, like, we talk about all those deep patterns, his second most common route from just a standalone percentage, it's the nine route, and then it's the curl route. So he has run a lot of curl routes too. You know, some of those are not the like shallow hitches, you know, little just some of them are pretty deep down the field curl routes still again. Okay. But I do think he is a full field route runner. Like just when you look at the overall success rate on a route by route basis, I think the more they put on his plate, the more that he can handle. And honestly, like when you see guys like George Pickens, for example, who we were just talking about at the top, he's got a very downfield route tree and it's kind of his success rate versus man and zone coverage scores are lower probably than in a couple of games. I'm not full through the full sample, so just using this as an example, because he's running those downfield routes, like his success rate is lower. The fact that Olave is running all those downfield routes and he's 70%+ against man coverage, he's 83% against zone, like that's really insane. really impressive. Yeah,
that's insanely good. Obviously, Olave's got some speed to burn, no doubt about it. I want to go back to what you just said about Michael Thomas. It's interesting to me, right? Well, first of all, look, you lose one of your all-pro left tackles in free agency. So, you know, protection is going to be a little dicey, you know, as they try to figure out what's going on there for the O-line. But I know it's funny that previous seasons, Michael Thomas did not deserve the moniker of Slant Boy, but would he serve himself well by being an underneath specialist now at this point in his career as he continues to ramp back up from injury?
Probably. Only 22.3% of his routes have been a slant or a flat so far this year. And it's, I think it's like 15% slants out of that 22%. So
is that strange to you?
It's very different from usual. I mean, he's usually up at like, one season I think he was like 36% slants. I would have to look back at like the historical database.
Okay.
but like in some of his big years, I think that was like 2017 or something like that. But like his 2018, 2019 season, which were some of his best in reception perception, he was around like 28-30% slant routes, which is not totally uncommon. Like guys like Julio Jones have been in that territory before. Guys like AJ Green or DeAndre Hopkins have been in that territory before. But still, like, yeah, again, that's a far cry from now he's at like 15-16% slants. More than 10% drop off from some of those peak years. So I think it's probably because you want him working more downfield because Jameis is a more downfield oriented player, but I think they could kind of cut him back closer to the line of scrimmage. And I will say he's going to make plays down the field because he's still pretty good in contested situations. He's had 9 contested targets through 3 games. He's won 8 of them so far in my tracking. So yeah, he's still really, really good in that area. So they're probably still getting downfield looks because of that, but I agree with your overall point that he still has really good hands. He's still good on those slant routes, stuff like that. That's probably the best use for him. He's just, I can't stress this enough that his overall success rates versus man, press, and zone are so far below, not just hit, like I said, those peak seasons, but even like what we saw in 2020.
You know, it's interesting when I look back at his alignment data from, you know, this year versus, you know, what he had in 20. I don't know. I looked at 2019, I think is probably a more fair sample of usage. Yeah. And his route or his alignment data, it's interesting. They've increased the amount of outside snaps that he takes. And I get it. Jarvis Landry is now in the building.
Slot boy,
okay,
yeah.
Fine. But you know, Michael Thomas in 2019 played about 75% of his snaps lined up outside, 25% lined up inside. Now that's gone up to 85% outside and about 15% inside. To me, I think that's a strange usage. If you've got a clear downfield guy who, as you mentioned, is winning, I'm assuming the coaching staff knows this dude, Chris Olave, is winning downfield. Do we really need Michael Thomas running all of these outside routes as well? I guess I have some kind of like, you know, schematic questions there for the Saints.
I think the response to that would probably be also, by the way, like Traquan Smith that played a little bit in week 3 and he's hurt too. So just to add on to that, just remember that like that's another injury that they got going on there in the wide receiver room. But
right.
I think the Saints would probably say that because of Olave's like size and speed profile, and they have been primarily using him at flanker. That's probably the position they want him to play. And Michael Thomas has historically
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, when he came into the NFL, he was kind of pegged as like the next Marcus Colston, like a big slot receiver for the Saints. But he never really played that position because as soon as they traded Brandon Cooks, like they threw Michael, even the year that him and Cooks had together in New Orleans, Michael Thomas was always the X receiver. Like he was never the big slot guy. He always played that X receiver position because he's so good at beating press coverage and so good at getting off the line of scrimmage. I think you could maybe ask that, James, that at this point, as you like, maybe have him be more of a Larry Fitzgerald type. I always go back to Fitz as the guy who extended right. his career moving into that big slot receiver position. You know, maybe this offensive coaching staff can ask themselves that question as Michael Thomas ages, because I do think he is still like really good hands and stuff like that. That you probably want him in those like layup target situations. The problem is just like, you're not going to play Jarvis Landry at X because those would just be wasted routes. And I think you probably do still want to play. Maybe they could play Chris Olave at X receiver, but I think he's probably best suited as a flanker, even if he is so great against press coverage. So I don't know. That is an interesting question. I think that it would probably be better. Like if we get a headline that, oh, Michael Thomas is going to play more slot receiver, that would probably be good for him, but it might also take him an off season to kind of get that down, you know? So I don't know. We're still a little bit in the wilderness with Michael Thomas, I think.
Yeah, look, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but I don't know. To me, it seems like, okay, why don't we slide Olave to the X? Why don't we have Jarvis play a little flanker? Because he played a lot of flanker in Cleveland, too. And then again, just have Michael Thomas just keep the chains moving. Like, listen, I know he hates the moniker, but golly, he is so good on those slant routes. I know. He's so good. And you just run those slant routes from the slot. Who's really going to, who is going to be able to stop that? You keep the chains moving, you keep the offense moving, and you give yourself positive down and distance so that Jameis doesn't shoot himself in the foot. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Look, these guys in the NFL, obviously they know a hell of a lot more than I do. I'm just spitballing here. You know, just 30,000 feet in the sky. Looking down at the Saints offense, especially what they did against Carolina, they didn't look good. As you mentioned, a lot of prayer balls deep down. That's not a functional offense, you know? And it showed. And it showed itself there in week three.
Yeah, it definitely does. It shows itself. And I mean, I think the big takeaway here, though, is the Saints need to do whatever's best for Chris Olave long-term, not as much like what's best for Michael Thomas long-term, because, you know, we can't forget too, they invested a ton to move up in the draft to get Chris Olave, right?
Like
they've nailed this player evaluation, and he is, I think, going to be like, there's a chance he's just the best offensive player on the Saints period. If like Alvin Kamara doesn't turn things around, like Kamara looks like he's lost a step through the first 3 weeks of the season. So, which again, also by the way, not great that like the Saints have bet that we'll get the best version of Michael Thomas when he comes back. We'll get the best version of Alvin Kamara when he comes back. And like, it looks like they've swung and missed on both of those. So then it's just Chris Olave in the prayer circle there with the prayer yards and stuff like that. We'll see, man. The main take here is Chris Olave looks like he's balling. He should be the best. He's the best player on the offense right now. And you know, now we just have to see like how many good weeks he can continue to stack here. Where they're going to play the Vikings in London. So pretty cool if you have him on your fantasy team. You're going to get those points nice and early. You'll probably, if you're a West Coaster, you're sleeping off your hangover, you're going to get that breakfast burrito. You already have those points in your lineup, man. But last point, too, just to talking about that Saints game.
Yeah.
The Panthers defense is so weird to me. I actually kind of – I like some of the stuff that Phil Snow does. Mm-hmm. But they, like, never press – they never press anybody, despite the fact that they drafted like a press man corner in JC Horn really, really high in the draft last year. And JC Horn's a good player, but
he's playing well.
He plays well, but it's an interesting kind of fit. They get the Cardinals, the 49ers, the Rams, and then hopefully like a healthy Bucks team in week seven. They just play so much soft zone coverage and back it up. Like that could be a Jameis thing. Cause it's like, oh yeah, just, back it up a little. Jameis will, he'll make some mistakes. He'll throw it to us. Sure. But I don't know, like, you know, this Greg Dortch guy, if Rondo Moore's still not out there, he could catch like 10 10 passes for 76 yards against this team.
Oh my gosh, I totally agree. It's so funny. I have Greg Dortch in pen as my favorite deep sleeper of the week, man. Like, yeah. I think that Carolina gives up, well, they do, statistically and just visually, they give up a ton of production underneath to slot receivers. And man, we're going into the weeds here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.